Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining this session. I'd also like to welcome our online audience members who are joining us from the United States and a number of other countries. With that in mind, I have a few reminders. At the question and answer portion of today's session, if you would please use the microphones located in the room so that the online audience can hear your questions. And online audience members, please use the chat pod in your webcast window. The session is being recorded and streamed. And the one other reminder that we have for you is if you would please take the time to do the evaluation form at the end of today's session. You'll find it in the online agenda on the conference webpage. We'd really appreciate that. If you could do that today, that's great. If not, it will be available for a little while after the conference. And now I'll hand it over to our speakers, both of whom are from University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Tanya Choice Henry and Wendy Lujak.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Tanya Choice Henry. As she said, I'm from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I am an information security and privacy awareness analyst, say that 10 times fast, and I also serve as the UITS privacy officer. My roles within the university are to make sure that we have our awareness and training positions in place and all the training available for everyone, and to do policy analysis for FERPA and HIPAA and all those fun laws that are specifically related to privacy.
Good morning. I'm Wendy Lujak, again from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, part of University Information Technology Services, which is the central IT division at our university. I am the senior IT communications strategist, and my role on our campus is to communicate to our campus community about IT resources and services. I also serve as the project communications lead on many of our projects for introducing new services. I manage IT major incident communications, and I also work very closely with our CIO to develop his strategic communications vision to our internal staff, our campus community, peers, and other institutions. So just by way of hands, we want to know who's in our audience today. How many of you here have as your primary role at your institution information security? Raise your hands. Okay. How many people here have as their primary role communications, specifically IT communications? Oh, only a few. Okay. Today what we hope to do is show you what we've done at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and give you some clues into developing a presentation or developing a comprehensive and strategic IT security plan. We want to cover effective strategies to identify your key stakeholders on your campus, how you define their role, how you create the message, the programs, and the plans as they relate to information security, and finally, how you deliver that message. UWM, at a glance, we are a research institution, one of two research institutions as part of the UW system in the state of Wisconsin, the other research institution being UW-Madison to our west. We have approximately 29,000 students supported by 3,500 faculty and staff. Our central IT division is lean and mean. We have 100 IT professionals in our central IT division. We are supported by approximately 175 part-time students that we employ. Local IT professionals number about 150. Our campus footprint is currently expanding beyond our Kenwood campus out into the community, which poses additional risks and challenges to developing an IT security plan. I think before you begin even implementing or developing any kind of plan, it's very important to think about your own institution. Get down deep and think about your institution's mission. What is their primary goal? What do they value? And this will help you define your focus in your plan. Think about your environment, your physical environment. Are you a compact campus? Do you have satellite locations located off campus? Think about your budget. and your resources. We all know that that plays an important role in what you are able to do to mitigate risk on your campus. Think about your constituencies or your key stakeholders. The people that you need to serve, who are they? And we'll delve really deep into that during this presentation. And then finally, think about your IT structure, the role of central IT, and the role your decentralized or local IT professionals play on your campus, because it becomes very important to partner with them. So even though we may come from many different types of institutions, the development of an IT security plan, the goal is still the same. And it's to mitigate risk for the individual and the institution. That's what you should be striving to do in developing your plans and your programs. We all know that higher ed is a very complex environment. It is unlike business or industry. It has a unique organizational structure that is not often top-down. You have to deal with governance. On our campus, we have a faculty senate. We have an academic staff community, and until recently, we also had unions for classified staff, so governance will play a role. We all know that we have a very transient population. 25% of our students come in new, brand new, every single year. We have a population of faculty that don't work on campus from 8 to 5. They work at home, and they work worldwide, which again creates additional risk and additional concerns. We all have individuals that might have multiple roles. Think about faculty who are also researchers, students who may also be employees or who may also do research. So it's important to understand the makeup of your institution. So where do you start? Well, one size does not fit all. Gone are the days when we can develop an IT plan, security plan, or program, throw it out on the wall and hope it sticks. That doesn't work. We know that. By nature and by career, I'm a marketer and a communicator. That's always been my role. And so I look at this no differently than bringing a product to market. So ask yourself these questions. What are you trying to sell? Who are you trying to sell it to? What is the benefit to them? What is going to be your cost in delivering that program or message? And how are you going to measure effectiveness? And that's really difficult to do. How do you know if your security plan is working if you don't have a breach that year? How do you prove a negative? It's very, very difficult to measure effectiveness. But it's really important that once you've defined the audience, it's important to recognize that each stakeholder is unique, and that's why fit and relevance is so important. So where do you begin in developing this strategic plan? Well, as I said, first you have to identify the stakeholder groups, and that's what we're going to do during this presentation, give you a glimpse into what we feel our stakeholder groups are, what their role and responsibilities are. Understand their primary role. Each group is unique, and each has a different role on your campus, and therefore poses or has exposure to a different kind of risk. Identify those risks based on the role, and finally, develop those programs to mitigate that risk. Your campus stakeholders don't know what they don't know, and it's up to you to tell them. On our campus, and for this presentation, we've identified our stakeholders as follows. Our IT staff, both centralized and decentralized. Our students, who come in all kinds of flavors, undergraduate, graduate, online, resident, non-resident. Our advisors, who typically live in those schools and colleges and hold a very unique role and a very interesting role in how they relate to students. Our instructors, everything from your tenured faculty to that occasional lecturer who may be assigned or may come on campus. Your researchers, your faculty who may hold a research role, your graduate students who may be doing research, and on our campus, in some cases, our undergraduate students who are also doing research. And finally, your campus leaders. from your chancellor and president to your vice chancellors or vice presidents to perhaps your deans or other types of individuals that make up campus leadership and develop policy in fulfilling the mission of the university. What kind of questions should you ask when you're beginning to develop a comprehensive strategic plan for IT security? Once you've identified your stakeholder groups, ask yourself, where does this group reside? Not physically where they are, although that is important, but where do they reside in the organization? Because that's going to tell you some of the touch points on how you can better reach them. How do you reach this group? What is their interest or role on your campus? Very, very important, and sometimes rather difficult to discern. What should their interest be as it relates to risk? What is the message that you want to get to them, and how are you going to deliver that message? So now I'm going to turn it over to Tanya, who's going to talk about each one of these key stakeholder groups.
As Wendy mentioned, we do have two different types of IT staff on our campus, central IT and decentralized IT. Our centralized IT is specifically responsible for all the enterprise-level services. So that would include our networking, the campus email system, the campus storage systems. And we're specifically required to meet the campus needs. So our view of what we do within central IT is specifically for the masses. We are not necessarily concerned with the information that some of the specialized groups may need, including researchers or some of the faculty who use specialized software and programs. That's where the local IT comes in place. They focus on the edge services, so all those specialized programs that may be needed or special services. Think about your cyber infrastructure, things like that where there needs to be higher computing purposes. That's where the edge services lie. But what's very important to note is that both teams are responsible for legal obligations and requirements. So it doesn't matter if you're in centralized IT or local IT, it's very important that you know what your requirements are legally and as far as PCI compliance, any of the compliance areas that you're interested in or that you specifically on your campus are related to for compliance. So it's very important to note what you want to tell the centralized IT. They are your first line of defense. They're the ones that are going to have interactions with your faculty and staff. They will have interactions with your students. And they're the ones that have to have a very specialized and specific message that you want to make sure that they're giving to those audiences. So how do you make sure that you're providing the correct information for your IT staff to forward that information? You want to make sure that it is very consistent and it's very succinct. Within centralized IT, it's quite easy to reach them because, well, for one, I work in centralized IT, and they are centralized, so you have more of a captive audience. On our campus, we do have the Information Security and Privacy Program. That program is required to be completed by all central IT. And it does cover 7 specific areas concerning privacy and information security awareness. It includes our acceptable use policy, our FERPA training and the HIPAA training, as well as other trainings specifically related to things that could lead to a data breach, like the protocol for security numbers. We want to make sure that everyone in IT knows that they're not supposed to put those anywhere. You know, you don't store those, you don't transmit those without the proper procedures in place for doing so. We also have a change management system and a service proposal process in place within central IT. And it's very fortunate that security is involved intimately in both of those processes. So if there's a new service proposal that's being developed, it's required to have a security component. If there's a change that's going to be made to an existing service, it does need to have a security review to make sure that it is still in compliance with the changes and the legal and state requirements. We also have a risk assessment program. The risk assessment program within centralized IT makes sure that we take a look at all the systems and the services and the procedures that we have in place to make sure that we're actually maintaining the information in a secure manner. secure manner. For local IT, we have in place a certificate in information security. The certificate itself is really unique because it actually has a number of programs and trainings in place that you can customize for your needs. So depending on where you work, you may have FERPA information, you may have HIPAA information. We want to make sure that you can take the trainings that you need and tailor those to the area that you work. So if you are in an office where there's a lot of records management, you can take a training on that as well. And you can earn a certificate in information security that allows you to show that you have an understanding of the requirements for information security within your area. We do customized training within the departments for central IT and for the departments overall across campus, which is very unique because they actually contact us and tell us what they want to talk about. They let us know what the issues are in their areas that they want to make, that they want their audience to know. We tailor training specifically for those areas and talk to them so that they know that it isn't just the IT staff saying that this is something, a requirement. These are requirements that are legal requirements, or they're compliance requirements, or they're statutory requirements from the state. So sometimes getting that message from a third party really has a lot of value. We go in and take the heat for them. We also do have a tech users group, which is campus-wide, includes the central IT and the local IT. And that is an open forum for communications, good and bad, about what's going on campus. And we do risk assessments. Usually they contact us for those risk assessments, but sometimes we are required to go in and do risk assessments. We work very closely with our audit team and our legal team, and sometimes when there are issues or something happens, we do have to go in and do a risk assessment for those purposes as well. So I want to talk about the students that we have on our campus. Well, they are everywhere, which is a good thing. And as Wendy mentioned, we have many different types of students. There are traditional students, there are adult students who are doing continuing education. We have programs on our campuses for elementary students, and they're all over campus all the time, year round. So we have, our audience is literally from age 8 to 88. So not only do we have these students on our campus, but we want to make sure that we have a message that reaches them wherever they're at in their academic career. So what do they want? And that's really important to know what they're interested in. They expect to have quick access. They expect to be able to just log on to information, have applications that directly connect them to the information that they're getting to, and have it across multiple lines of communication. They expect reliable services, so it doesn't matter if they're studying in the middle of the night. They need to be able to get to the file storage or the email system so that they can do the work when they need to do the work. Easy to use, so it shouldn't be complicated. Think of plug and play. So anything that you have available for your students, you want to make sure that they can just get to it quick and easy. And I don't know about you, but our students have, and our staff, multiple ways of getting the information. Just like in this room, there's laptops, there's tablets, there's smartphones. So we want to make sure that they have all the tools that they need to complete their assignments. And of course, we want to make sure that it works across different mobile devices. So how do we go about reaching our students? What is the message specifically for them? Well, a lot of our students come in, and probably the biggest thing that affects students on our campus is illegal file sharing. They grew up sharing files, getting them for free, sharing them, and they don't know that it's illegal. So it's our job to make sure that they know that. It's also our job to know that they're in a different type of environment. They do have rights. They have rights that concern their records. They have rights that concern their privacy. They have rights that concern all the information that they create and the information that they are given. So we want to make sure that they know what their legal obligations are. And then the other thing is that a lot of times, especially for that 25% that comes in every year, the freshman students, they may not be quite as secure as they should be. They may not know that you shouldn't leave your backpack here while you go get something to drink in the library. Because stolen laptops and devices, well, it happens. And we want to make sure that they're keeping their data safe. For example, on our campus, it is against the acceptable use policy to share your password. Well, you know, college students, sometimes they fall in love. They share that password with their boyfriend or girlfriend, and they break up. What happens then? This happens every year on our campus. There's a bad email sent out. They're dropped from classes. Who knows what can come of that situation? So we want to make sure that they know what they're supposed to do with the information that they're provided. So how do we deliver that message? Well, we catch them early as we possibly can. We do mailers before they even come to campus. We do a incoming orientation. Actually, Wendy does those personally. She talks to every incoming student when they come to campus during their orientation sessions. Yes, we even talk to their parents. So during the parent orientation, we're touching base with them, letting them know what's expected of their students. And we also send the mailer to the parents so that they know what services we provide on campus and the expectations for the students on campus. And of course, we do the standard stuff. We have brochures or flyers and signage, and we also have communications. And we do have online training that's available for our students as well. One of our more popular trainings on campus for students is one that's called Passwords, Phishing, and, oh gosh, Passwords, Phishing, and Compromised Accounts, because they reply to those phishing emails more than anyone on campus. The next group that I'd like to talk about is our advisors. Advisors on our campus are very, very, very important. They're key to getting out the security message. They have a very personal relationship with our students, and it's more personal than any type of relationship that they're going to have throughout their academic career. So it's very important that the advisors themselves understand that, one, they have a fiduciary responsibility to those students to protect their information. But they also have a responsibility to make sure that the students are aware of what their responsibilities are. So they are another area that can get the security message out for you. Reaching the advisors, we have, on our campus, there's an advisory council for guidance counselors. And of course, we can go through their deans or department chairs and get information directly to them. There's training and publications that we can do directly to them on campus. And of course, they do have affiliated departments that they work with that we can get the message to them through. Affiliated departments for advisors would be, for example, the legal affairs office on your campus. They speak with the advisors, your financial aid areas, several different areas, your enrollment department. Those are areas that can help get the message to the advisors to ensure that they have the correct information that they're sharing, not only with the students, but that they're providing the correct legal requirements. Instructors. Instructors on our campus are very important. They teach the future. And they're very important in knowing that the information that they provide and the tools that they use can affect what they do, what the students do going forward in life. So it's very important that we want to make sure that they are providing them with the correct information, and that they're using the correct information themselves. The digital footprint for students and instructors is very important. I keep saying very important, so I'm just going to say it one time. Everything I'm talking about is very important. And then I won't have to say it again. Digital footprint is specifically about your online presence. And instructors have a unique role in that they can tell students that everything you're doing online, it stays there forever. So when you're putting stuff on your Facebook account and you're using some of the other social media accounts, make sure that what you're doing there, you can use that now. 20 years from now, when your student is a parent and those children go back and look at that, that they know what's going on, that they want to make sure that they're aware of what they're doing, and that employers are looking at this information. They're doing that already. So the students should know what they're doing online affects them not only today, but in the future. Instructors also have a need to know about copyright issues. Now, there is a fair use clause that allows instructors to use copyrighted material for educational purposes. But what a lot of instructors don't know is that if you don't get the proper approvals for that, then it can be a violation of copyright rights. So how do we go about reaching our instructors? We reach them during the onboarding process, so right when they're hired, that's a great opportunity to let them know what their responsibilities are and make sure they understand the legal requirements of instructing. We have a Learning Technology Center. On our campus, the Learning Technology Center is a resource specifically for the instructors, and it provides tools and resources for them to enhance learning materials using technology tools, including the internet, social media, those types of things. So they are really a good place to go if you need to know how to use that material properly. Libraries on our campus, libraries actually gather the materials that the instructors are going to use. And they actually are the central location that will provide the correct information for copyright usage of any type of material. So for our instructors, we want to make sure they know where to go to get the proper corrections, the proper and correct information for copyrighted information. And there's governance, so we want to make sure that when the instructors actually come to campus, there's usually a governance meeting at the beginning of the year, and there's several throughout the year, so we go and talk to those governance meetings, and we're invited, we have information sessions with them, and they tell us what information they need to know. So if there's something new that's coming out related to privacy or information security, or there's a new type of program that they want to try out, they let us know and we can tell them if it's something that's possible for their use. And as I mentioned before, if they don't have the correct information on hand for using learning materials, unfortunately, they find out about copyright issues when there is a DMCA violation against them. So we have to come in and actually do an investigation on how they gathered that information, what they did with that information, and did they have the proper right to use that information. Our researchers are very important to our campus. They have, they create funding sources for us. They have many incubators for businesses on our campus. We have numerous centers that are created from our research departments. And we want to make sure that the information that our researchers are actually developing stays theirs. It shouldn't be shared until they want to share that information. And we want to make sure that they know the steps to take to protect their intellectual property. So most of our researchers do collaborate not only across campus across campus, but also with community partners within the state of Wisconsin and universities all across the world. So we want to make sure that they are using the information in a secure and collaborative manner that is actually approved for funding purposes. Most of the information that's, most of the funding that's provided is actually gathered from information that the data itself is gathered from resources that have security requirements that you have to have in place. You have to have a security plan in order to get some of the funding sources. So if you don't have that plan in place and you have the best research in the world, you can lose your funding for that research. And it's extremely important that we make sure that they are aware of the information that they need to protect. So we have several tools in place to protect the data for our researchers. We have a data classification tool, which provides the information for classifying the data, whether it's private, personal, sensitive, or confidential. We have a risk assessment program that helps to look at their policies, their procedures, their software, their equipment to make sure that they're all in focus with securing the information. We do have an access verification program that we push for the instructors to use, because that information really has important implications for who has access to that information, not only today, but when they leave. We want to make sure that they are looking at who has access at least on an annual basis. Business associate agreements are extremely important, because if they're sharing that information outside of UWM, you want to make sure that they have the correct security measures in place at that third party or at that external party to protect the data that they're generating. Again, I mentioned before the secured authoring, the secured sharing services. Make sure you're doing it in a way that's authorized and secure. Some areas try to use things like Dropbox, which is not a sanctioned sharing device. So make sure that your researchers know what they can and can't use on your campus. And as I mentioned before, the funding requirements are very important, because if they are not securing the data in the manner that they said they would, then that funding could very much go away. And with that, I'll turn it back to Wendy.
So let's talk a little bit about your campus leadership. Who are these people? Well, generally, your campus leadership is your chancellor, as I mentioned before, your president, your vice presidents or your vice chancellors. But think about other individuals that are responsible for carrying out the university's mission, or who are responsible for carrying out policy. Those could be your deans, head of your faculty senate, or other types of governance groups. So it's very important to identify who is part of campus leadership and who sits at that table. What is campus leadership generally interested in as it relates to information security? First of all, institutional risk is very important. They are concerned about protecting the institution against risk and mitigating that risk. They often have a certain tolerance level for risk, and that tolerance level is often defined by the priority that they give to security and the resources they have available to mitigate that, that risk. They're responsible for enforcing legal obligations and law and campus policy. They're also, of course, very interested in the reputation of the campus and managing the public perception of the campus. Don't we all shudder when we have a breach, right? And so that affects the reputation of the campus. How do you reach campus leadership? Well, I think one good way to reach them is by CIO engagement. Where does your CIO sit within your organization? At UWM, the Central IT Office, or UITS, reports directly to the Vice Chancellor of Finance and Administrative Affairs. And the Finance and Administrative Affairs Vice Chancellor sits on the Chancellor's leadership team or the Chancellor's cabinet. We are now undergoing a CIO search, and we've changed that reporting. The CIO will now have a seat at that table at campus cabinet, at the leadership table, and will also have a dotted line to the chancellor. Very, very important. Another way that we can reach campus leadership is after action reviews. Not the best way to point out a deficiency, but it can be very effective. So that when we have a major IT incident on campus, we have an after action review that identifies the deficiencies that led to that incident and how we can mitigate that instance happening again. And oftentimes, an IT incident may have a security component or a risk component. So that's another way to reach them. Look, we could do better in the future if we had X, Y, and Z. Working teams. How do you involve your campus leadership on your security working teams? At UWM, we have something called EMIRT, and it's the Executive Management Information Incident Response Team. By engaging your campus leadership or those close to campus leadership on these types of security teams, you can have a voice at the table. And finally, formal audits. Those may be done internally by your internal audit or your risk management group, or they could be called for externally. It's another way of waving the flag and getting attention for resources that you might need to mitigate risk. So, in conclusion, what are the rewards of a strategic and comprehensive information security plan? An informed community. They don't know what they don't know, so you've got to tell them. So if nothing else, by having a very strategic plan, you're able to, again, get to those key stakeholders with a message that is relevant and timely for them. A sense of shared responsibility. We're all in this together. And so what a researcher does or a student does affects the institution. And finally, of course, risk mitigation. So what are the takeaways? What do we want you to take away from this session? Identify your key stakeholders. Very, very important. As you've seen, they all have a different role, responsibility, and level of risk on your campus. Understand their role, because you can't communicate with them unless you know who they are and what role they play on your campus. And then target the risk specifically to that group. Again, one size does not fit all. And finally, develop not only a strategic plan to mitigate risk, but an effective communication strategy. Because again, you could have all the plans in the world, but if you aren't communicating effectively, timely, and in a relevant way, it's not going to make any difference. So with that, we close, and we ask if you have any questions of us. Yes?
I apologize, it's a technical question. I'm interested in what are your secure sharing services that you're recommending to people for collaboration?
We actually do have...
Repeat the question.
Yes, I'll repeat the question. The question is, what are we recommending for secure sharing services on our campus in collaboration? On our campus, we actually do have a proprietary resource that we're using. So it's called PantherLink. And within PantherLink, we have, that's our email system. We have PantherFile, which is a Zimbra product, and it allows the sharing of files and information.
And then we also have a group storage, a kind of a homegrown group storage that we recommend. But we know that everybody's using all kinds of things. Yeah. I mean, you have to acknowledge that everybody is going out and with their P card or whatever, signing those EULAs, and that's what we've heard over and over at this conference. So we have to understand that that's what's happening, accept it, and try and mitigate that risk in a way that's relevant to that stakeholder saying, hey, if you sign this, guess what?
You're responsible.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is a question from an online audience member, and they are asking, to what extent do you work with IRB when trying to reach researchers?
We do work with IRB quite closely. They are a resource that they come to us for information, and we also go to them for information. Because I work in the information security office, We see the risks for pretty much everything. And so if there's an investigation that needs to be done, we're the area that does it, whether they're related to the IRB process or any other process on campus. So it's very important that not only we understand the IRB process, but they understand what we do as far as investigations.
Yes.
Thank you for a very good presentation. It was very clear and well organized, and we appreciate that. Will you be sharing the slides?
Definitely.
Yes, great. Slides and notes will be online after the conference.
Thank you. And also, you mentioned that you assist the researchers with risk assessment. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, do you have a checklist or an outline for those players that is something that's on your public website?
Why, yes, we do. We do have a checklist that's available for researchers. It does have some generic information that they can make sure that they're in compliance with. And of course, we'll go in person and provide a more detailed risk assessment. As I mentioned before, there are several different government funding agencies that require a security plan as a part of the funding request. So we have a process, and we're actually trying to develop a more formalized process for helping them write those plans.
Another online question. How do you address needs for different security levels in different IT divisions of IT?
That's a good question. I mentioned very briefly that we have a data classification standard. So we focus on the security level based on the classification of the information. So if it's public information, well, we don't necessarily care too much of how it's stored or transmitted or used. But if it's something that's a higher level, something in our confidential area, then those are the controls that we want to make sure that are definitely in place, that we monitor on a regular basis, that we audit on a regular basis. So on our campus, we've developed a security plan that goes up, that really focuses on the importance of the data itself. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry, we had a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have one more question for you. Do you have any suggestions about summarizing policy so that it's more understandable to the audience, but also you haven't missed detail that's going to create a compliance issue?
Well, the programs that I mentioned, we have the Information Security and Privacy Program, and we also have the Certificate in Information Security. Both of those have videos that go along with them. So they kind of summarize each of the privacy and awareness and security program issues. They have an assessment, which yes, it is a quiz, to make sure that they understand that information. And then as a kind of a takeaway for those programs, once you complete it, you actually get what that policy is. So all of that information is kind of wrapped up in one tidy little package that not only provides the information, makes sure that they understand it, and gives them the original source of that information. And the training itself, I mean, they're from 10 to 20 minutes, so it isn't very time consuming.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, I think
Thank
I'm
you.
Done. Thank you.